So this is our 10th message in the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew 5 through 7. And we're starting chapter 7 today. And this the sermon is called Judgmentalism. One of the good things about working your way through a set passage is that you can't avoid what comes up. You can't pick and choose. And so the very next thing we come to in Matthew is this passage we're looking at today. And it can be a little bit confronting for us. Ever heard anyone say anything judgmental or call Christians hypocrites? It seems to be a common thing in our society that many who don't have much understanding of Christian faith will know the very first verse of this scripture. Do not judge. The very first three words. They may not know much else scripture, but they'd happen to know the start of Matthew 7, verse 1. The first three words. And many times I say something to someone and say, the Bible says you shouldn't judge. And this is someone who probably has never opened a Bible in their life. It seems to be common knowledge. Just like John 3:16 might be the favourite verse of many Christians, I think for many non-Christians, the favourite verse is Matthew 7:1, the first three words. For some reason they want to point out to us, God said you're not allowed to judge. There is a problem with that because they apply it without understanding what Jesus was actually teaching. It's like taking any words out of Scripture and taking them out of context. For instance, if you were to do that with some Scriptures, you might find out that you can only vote for the Liberal Party in Australia because the Bible says, be ye liberal in all things. We know that's dumb, right? The old anecdote about the guy who had never opened a Bible, he opened it up and it said, and Judas went out and hanged himself. I don't like that. And he flipped through and the next verse came up and was, go thou and do likewise. It's easy to twist scripture and to take things out of context. So this morning we want to put these six verses in their context and understand exactly what Jesus is saying. And it's even true of believers. With other believers, particularly if you're working with someone on a problem, and then you say to them, "Well, look, how about don't you judge me?" And we're quick to defend ourselves and to excuse ourselves, and try and do it in a holy way by quoting scripture at people, but it's important that we use scripture correctly. So let's have a look at today's passage. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you'll be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out, you hypocrite? Now this is Jesus speaking, right? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give to dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Really interesting passage. And as Jesus often does, he uses examples from culture and also a bit of hyperbole, a bit of exaggeration to drive home a point. So let's unpack this, and I've unpacked it in a sort of looking at some topics. Do not judge. Do not judge, or you too will be judged, for in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Matthew 7, 1 and 2. So when Jesus says, don't judge, he doesn't mean that we can't make moral decisions about what is right or wrong. As a matter of fact, we're called to do that. We're called to examine things and to make discerning judgments all the time. So obviously he's not saying to us, don't use your faculties to decide on what is right or wrong. Don't use your faculties to understand and discern things as they are around you. Later in this chapter, he says, don't give to dogs that which is sacred. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. You have to make a judgment. Are you doing that? Are you giving your pearls to pigs? Are you giving sacred things to dogs? And, you know, in that context, that meant people who were not believers, because that was the language of the day. So Jesus, using the language of the day, challenged people. But it's not about don't judge in terms of being discerning. There's something other he's talking about here. In verse 15 through 20, he says, watch out for false prophets. If you're not making judgments, how can you decide who is a false prophet? So it's obviously, it's not about using discernment. It's not about using judgment as a faculty to understand and to make decisions. It's about what you do with what you know. We couldn't obey either of those commands that in about pigs and dogs and about the false prophets without having discernment. It's a thing that we need to do. And so the throwaway line, don't you judge me, actually is often used to accuse, particularly to accuse Christians of speaking the truth. During the marriage debate, that was a common thing. If you're talking to someone who's a friend and they challenge Christian belief and you stand up and say, well, this is what the Bible says, they'll say, don't judge me. And it's an accusation. And the accuser of the brethren is the enemy. That's not coming from God. That's an accusation designed to step you back from the truth. In John 7:24, I've got these two verses on the bottom. Jesus says, stop judging by mere appearance, but instead judge correctly. Now, he's given that command, but he's given this command, do not judge. So there's something in there that Scripture doesn't contradict itself. In Ephesians 5:11, Paul says, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. That's not only discernment, but action out of that discernment. So what is Jesus talking about here? As Christians, we're required to make moral judgments, correctly discerning what's right or wrong according to God's word. But what Jesus is talking about is judgmentalism, about an attitude of heart. There is a warning in these first two verses that the way we judge others is the way we will be judged. Our judgment or discernment needs to be completely fair, and we should only judge others in the way that we would be willing to allow them to judge us. That's a scary thing, isn't it? As my dad used to say to me, every time you point your finger at someone, there's three fingers pointing back at you. And it's true. Think about it. Point your fingers, here's the other three pointing back at me. So I've got to be careful three times more about what I'm doing, my dad used to say, than what I'm accusing others of doing. And look to ourselves. And there's some of that in the scripture. We'll unpack that. The command here is not to have an attitude of superiority and judgmentalism, not to have a critical spirit. And there's more to that. It isn't a ban on discernment or judgment. Rather, it's a command against a critical, judgmental spirit. And, you know, sometimes I find myself falling into that. And the longer I've walked as a Christian, sometimes I find that I then become judgmental of others, not remembering where I've come from, not remembering what God has done in my life, and that everything I have and everything I am is part of His shaping, not me. It's not my superiority, it's God's grace. Therefore, I don't have a right to stand in judgment and with a critical spirit of other people. James says, don't speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law. You're now a judge. But here elsewhere he says, we hear scripture says, don't be hearers of the law only, but doers. Don't stand back and judge everyone else. Instead, be doers of the law. And the law is love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Judge others in the way you want to be judged. Treat others in the way that God has treated you. And as I was doing this, I went, oh, man, this is a strong word for us. It's a warning to us. And remember, Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount isn't standing on top of the mountain preaching to the masses. He's up there with disciples and those who are following him, teaching them what it means to follow him. And the call here is, don't be judgmental. Romans 14:10. You then, why do you judge your brother or sister? Why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. And that whole chapter 14 is really interesting to read. The whole chapter really is about judgmentalism amongst believers, dealing with things like food laws and people who are weak and people who are strong. And actually, the call is for people who stand in a place of discernment and understand something is wrong. You are to serve and build up those who are not strong, not stand back and wag a finger at them. So a wonderful chapter, chapter 14. It's a good chapter to read through to refresh us in understanding how we relate to each other that shows the character of God. So how do we avoid judgmentalism? Now, Jesus, in verse 3 through 5, uses this teaching method called hyperbole. We've heard it before as we've studied in various other parts of scripture, you know, like where Jesus said, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Pull your eye out if your eye causes you to sin. It's better to go into heaven maimed with no hand or no eye than to go into hell whole. You know, Jesus was not promoting, fine, if you're doing something wrong, chop your hand off, which happens in some cultures. He was using hyperbole or exaggeration to make a point. Though there might be a literal speck in someone's eye, and Maria's someone who gets eyelashes in her eye a fair bit. She's on drops, and they cause her eyelashes to fall a little. And so probably once a day, Maria's sitting at her mirror, and I'm like, what are you doing? Oh, I've got an eyelash in my eye. Yeah, so, yeah, we get specks in our eye. As we come into this part of the season, we get those winds. Sometimes we'll get dust in our eyes. So it's okay to have. I've seen plenty of people have had specks in their eyes. But has anyone seen someone walking around with a plank in their eye? And you know, the word plank here, in most translations, is plank or you know, piece of wood. But it actually, the word is used for a girder. You know, like the girder that runs down the center of the building and holds the whole thing together. So like something that's not a 2x2, but something that's like a 30 by 30 and about 10 meters long. Now that's a lot of dust. and again, so that's a great exaggeration. The whole point in this that Jesus makes in this, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye or the beam? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a beam in your own eye or a big plank? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So it doesn't say don't remove the speck from other people. What it says, make sure you're in the right place before you do it. Make sure that you've done your self-examination and that your attitudes are right. The whole point is we need to be examining ourselves with biblical discernment before we even think about correcting anyone else. In this, we might begin by looking at our attitudes towards a person. Do we have a feeling of superiority? Do we have disdain for them because look at them? How can they call themselves a Christian? And you know, we find ourselves in those sort of attitudes, looking down on people, feeling proud about how we're not. Remember the guy who went to pray, Lord, thank you, I'm not like that man over there. And the guy over there is beating his breast and said, Lord, forgive me, I'm a sinner. You know, it's really important that we do self-examination first before we begin any sort of correction of anyone else, that we know our heart and our attitude and our spirit is right before God. Otherwise, what we're doing is, yeah, when we're trying to take the speck out of their eye, we're swinging that plank around and all we're doing is damaging them and everything around them. How about legalism? That's a bit of a plank, isn't it? Does God treat us with legalism? No. Does God treat us with justice? Absolutely. Jesus came to pay for our sins because they needed to be paid for. Does God deal with justice and righteousness? Absolutely. But God's method of dealing with us is to have justice and mercy meeting together. To have grace and righteousness meeting together. And sometimes when we're doing this judgmentalism on others, and we have justice and we have righteousness and we have legalism, we don't have the other things. We don't have mercy and grace and love that overrides all of that. So it's a really important thing for us. We find that by sitting under God's word and letting God's word and God's spirit deal with us first. I remember when I think I've told this story a few times before, but I remember when I was first saved and running up and down the street in Hay Street. I was working at the bottom of Hay Street near the Wacker, and I'd go up the hill, and I even wrote my testimony out on paper and would walk up to people and say, can you read this and tell me what you think? I was really zealous, and I'd go into a shop, and eventually the ladies in the shop where I bought my lunch would see me coming and shuffle around the back to do something else, and push someone else out to the front or the new person. And I got really upset that no one was coming to Jesus, and I got down on my knees, really, literally, I got on my knees and cried out, God, God, why not? God, why aren't people coming to faith? I'm sharing the gospel with everyone. And God says, why are you trying to be the Holy Spirit? Because the word is the work of the Holy Spirit to convince and convict sin, righteousness, and judgment. Ours is to be witnesses, not to be judgmental and finger wagging. And I was doing it in that sort of attitude. Now, I've got this and you guys need it. Sort of headed in the right direction, but with a wrong heart in doing it. And God needed to work on me. God's word declares that we are all sinners. God's word declares that there is none righteous, no, not one. That we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Everyone's gone to their own way, but the Lord has laid the iniquity of us all on Jesus. So we don't stand in a place of superiority or pride or judgment over others. We stand in the same place as them, under the grace and love and acceptance and forgiveness of God. And so we need to treat others in that same way. The way you judge is the way you'll be judged. The way you measure is the way you will be measured. So it's a really important thing for us to do this self-examination and to do self-judgment before we do any other sort of discerning on other people. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourself, not by works. It's a gift of God, not by works, so that no man can boast. We have no position to stand in judgmentalism. And as we remind ourselves of who we are and where we've come from, of what God has done and why we are where we are, it's not because of our works. So we can't boast. It's the work of God. And then we treat everyone else in the way that God has treated us. Does that make sense? That's what Jesus is dealing here with. He's dealing with a religious, judgmental, critical spirit. And he says, that's not the way of those who follow me. The way of the people who follow me is to see that what they have is what I've given them. Now, in all of this, let me tell you really clearly, this does not mean that we don't stand against sin. This does not mean that we don't discern and recognize bad behavior. That we don't stand up in our culture, which is, we're talking about this in the other day at Jana's birthday, we got into a theological discussion for about 2.5 hours. We're in a culture that gives us the right to have a say. So we have a right to speak and to write letters to politicians and to lobby for truth and for justice and for fairness. But what needs to be in all of that, we need to stand in the right place of understanding what God has done. We need to do it without a critical spirit. I was a bit sad through the same-sex marriage debate. What a wonderful opportunity for the church to show grace while standing up for truth. Instead, what happened is a lot of the church took this swing into the pendulum to stand over one side and fire darts at the people on the other side. And some of the people who said we're being hated were actually right. You know, I voted no. I stood against all of that. I spoke against it in personal conversation. But we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual powers in high places. And so we need to treat people the way God treats us, with dignity and respect and care. And we speak the truth in love, not in anger, not with a critical spirit. We avoid judgmentalism by recognizing the amazing grace that God has poured out upon a wretch like me, on a wretch like you. So undeserving of any grace at all. Yeah, if God had said, I'm going to fold this world up and throw it in a bin and start again, he would have been within his rights, because we were all in rebellion. Instead, he sent Jesus. Praise God that we're in the hands of a God who loves us that much. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And the very next verse, John 3:17 says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. No judgmentalism. If we've truly experienced the mercy and grace of God, then we need to act that way towards others. So in practicing our discernment, Galatians 6:1 to 5 is really good on this. We are called to discern. We're called to exhort. We're called to challenge. We're called to encourage. We're called to be iron sharpening iron. And so, you know, you rub two bits of iron together, you're going to get some heat and friction. And that's okay if we're doing it from the right place. And often this means speaking to others, particularly for pastors, speaking to others about sin or poor choices. And, you know, I tremble when I have to do that, because I know what I'm like. People should be speaking to me about this stuff too. But there's a right way to do it. And Galatians 6:1-5 says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you too may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens. In this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they're not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves without comparing themselves to someone else, for each one should also carry their own load. Gentleness with others. Watchfulness of our actions and our motives behind those actions, and the willingness to serve and walk with those around us, to consider others as greater than ourselves, as Scripture calls us to. This is discernment in practice. thinking of others more highly than ourselves, not thinking of ourselves as superior, and look at that rat bag over there who calls himself a Christian. It's pretty clear teaching here by Jesus. And he uses that parable of the plank and the sawdust really to make this point really clear and to grab your attention, grab my attention. Now, at the end of this, there's this one verse, verse 6, which seems to just duck sideways from what he's talking about. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. And I went, what? This is the package, 1 through 6, but how does this fit in? In Matthew 10, Jesus sends his disciples out two by two. You remember that? And he says to them, you know, you speak in each town and village. And then he says, if anyone won't welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town. That's sort of like snubbing your nose at someone. Say, oh, well, if you don't want to hear, bad luck. I'm on my way. Again, this is a teaching about discernment. How do you know if people are like that? Well, you think about it, you observe, you use discernment, you rely on the Holy Spirit to prompt you. And it's a bit like that in our relationships with people. When we're talking about stuff, sometimes people don't want to listen. What do we do then? Do we jump in and keep pushing? I have a confession to make. As a dad, I was really bad at this. I'd be doing discipline with my kids, talking to them about what they'd done, and they had enough. They knew, they were ready to go and sulk for a while and then deal with it. But not me. I would keep pushing and pushing and pushing until, you know, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. And it's exactly what I would do. And Maria was a wonderful intermediary. She would jump in and tell me to go away. Stop. Time to stop. Even if you make every effort to make sure you have no large plank in your eye, even if you have discerned yourself and looked at your attitudes and you really want to help this person, sometimes people do not want to receive it. Even if your heart is in the right place, even if you're trying to speak the truth in love and you sincerely want the best for them, sometimes people don't want to receive it. And I think this teaching says to us, back off. Don't push. Back off. Why? Because it's the Spirit of God's job to convict and convince and concerning sin, righteousness and judgment. We speak up, and we then step away. If people are not willing, if people want to hear that, then we sit with them and we work with them as a brother or a sister or as a non-believer, explaining and opening the Word of God. But otherwise, back off. Don't push. Let God do the work in their lives. We continue to pray for people. We continue the relationship, but not on the topics or whatever that where there's conflict. Sometimes we might decide, well, you know, actually, I'm going to have this relationship so that I'm there when they've worked through this and they want to ask more. And stick with the Peter thing that says, be prepared to give an answer to those who ask you for the hope in you, rather than say, I have an answer and you haven't even asked the question yet. We don't continue because it actually gets worse. And as a dad, I can tell you it did. We have to let people work through things themselves, and we have to give room for the Holy Spirit to work, and we have to realize that we're not the person driving this, the Spirit of God is. So, God's poured out incredible love, mercy and grace on us. While we were still sinners with our back turned against God, Jesus died for us. So for us as rescued, forgiven, free, uncondemned. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who know God and have truly experienced his love and mercy. Let's choose to treat others the way we've been treated. Judgmentalism. Love, mercy, grace, kindness, gentleness. The fruit of the Spirit. And when we find ourselves not doing that, let's go to God and ask for forgiveness and restoration. Because this is something that's cyclical. It happens with us regularly. And God is all about relationship. Judgmentalism does not build relationship. You and I all know that we will listen to people who we know care for us, who we trust, and who we have relationship with us. Maybe some people in the digital age listen to lots of people who they don't even know or haven't ever met. But the way God wants us to work is through relationship. And judgmentalism is not part of that relationship. Here's a warning and an encouragement in the one package from Jesus this morning. Let's be people who treat others the way we've been treated by God. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your incredible grace to us. Yeah, Newton had it right, Lord. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. And Lord, we have no way that we can stand in judgment of those who are still blind, who are still lost, or those who are just starting to get a glimmer. Spirit of God, we ask that you would convict us in times when we act with judgmentalism and empower us to overcome that with good. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And we thank you. Thank you for your ongoing work in us to declare who you are. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.